That's what every one of us here who gathered before you on the Lord's Day want to do as we bring God's Word to you. I want to speak this morning a little bit about the mind of Christ and how it is that we're to have that mind of Christ, how it is that we're to know that mind of Christ, and how it is Christ Himself wants us to know what He desires for us, and how it is that God the Father, through Him, desires us to come to Him. This sermon that I'm giving, this lesson that I'm presenting to you, wasn't my own sermon, but I gathered it once I heard it from a brother over in Brunswick preach the other day, and thought it would be an excellent study, an excellent lesson to help bring us closer to understanding the mind of Christ and understanding the mind of God and how it should affect our lives. Brother David Chadwell from, I think, Tennessee or Kentucky had presented this material, and it's online and available for anybody if they need the notes. But at any rate, I wanted to speak about this, the mind of Christ, and any relationship that you have with anybody. You want to be understood. You want to be recognized as being sensible, being something that, or presenting something that people can take and use. Focus that against being misunderstood. Nobody wants to be misunderstood. Nobody intentionally goes up and says, "I want to be misunderstood," unless it's some kind of mean, cruel joke to somebody else or to themselves. But at any rate, nobody wants to be misunderstood. All people want to share communication so that people that they know and can translate their ideas, they can communicate. Take, for instance, children and parents. A child does not want to be misunderstood. However, unfortunately, it's been my experience that I do misunderstand my children all the time. And I can see their reaction when they know that I don't understand them. And it frustrates them. It bothers them. I know I've seen it here lately where I didn't quite understand something from one of my children, and it brought them to tears. But at the same rate, a child wants to be known. It wants to be understood by its parent, by its father or mother. If it doesn't happen, you can understand the feelings of hopelessness, the feelings of being terribly different, of being inferior, and that kind of attitude, that kind of emotion, that kind of position that a child can be in, it can damage them. It can hurt them. It can destroy them eventually if it happens over and over again. And you think about the self-esteem that a person needs, and I think self-esteem is biblical. We need to appreciate who we are, and we need to appreciate what God has brought us to be. We're created beings. God made us for His glory, and we need to appreciate that and have self-worth. But sometimes that understanding, it's not had between father or mother. Father and child or mother and child. You know, that can translate to employees on the job. When an employee brings an idea to the boss, you know, he wants the boss to understand him. He wants to be able to communicate and effectively provide information into what he's thinking so that things can be streamlined. Believe me, it doesn't happen all the time. And when your boss doesn't understand you, it's frustrating. Some of you young folks that haven't had jobs yet, you've been under your parents. Your parents have given you a job before. And you can understand when you wanted to do it another a way or a different way, your father told you to go do this, and you were trying to get it done, and it didn't get done rightly because maybe it wasn't understood. Or when, you know, you translate to your parents, they give you a job to do, and you're thinking about something else. So you can understand the relationship there between employees and workers, or maybe simply an architect to a builder. Architects design buildings and structures along with engineers. They design and they draw out and they plan and they guide on things, how things ought to be built, on how buildings and structures need to be made. And when a builder gets there and he sees the plan, he lays it out, and he looks at the plan and says, "That doesn't measure right. I don't understand this." You know, it's frustrating to the architect. But you turn that around when the builder tries to build something that the architect's designed and it doesn't come through. You can understand the frustration and the tension that happens there. So using all these illustrations, we want to be understood. We want understanding to be had. We want to share the same mind. We want to be parallel with what's going on. Well, you do want to be understood, don't you? You want to be known, and you want it to be made clear. How is this known? You don't have to agree with me to understand me, do you? You don't have to agree that the way I'm going is the way that you need to go, or the way that I'm doing something has to happen this way. But at least to understand, you can accomplish the same thing, or you can work toward the goal that you need to. It's better also when someone knows my thinking, when someone's able to relate to my feelings, when someone can accurately state my view without distorting it. That takes a lot of communication. That takes a lot of pointed black and white instructions on what needs to happen. But it makes me feel so good when somebody understands and they know what I'm talking about, or they know what I'm going through, or they know my goals. Contrast that with somebody who has no idea when I explain it to them, when they can't focus, they can't think, they have no clue, and you have to go over and over the situation again. And for too long, you might sever a relationship if nobody gets it. You know, this guy doesn't understand me. Why am I even in a relationship with him? So again, you can understand the idea about sharing your mind and being understood with people. I think that's kind of what I'm doing here now, helping you understand what I'm talking about. But again, going back to that idea of being wanting to be understood, I genuinely appreciate that person who grows in his or her understanding of me. Let's translate those thoughts and those feelings then to God. When God makes His plan clear, when He lays it out before us in His Word, and it's clear and it's black and white, and we can study it and dig deeply and understand those things that God wants us to understand, God is perhaps the most misunderstood person, if you will, in eternity. You know, I can be misunderstood for maybe 80 years or my lifetime. I can share that lifetime. But God has been misunderstood throughout the ages, from the beginning of time when the wickedness that was on the earth was destroyed and people didn't follow after God. They were destroyed by the flood. And even after that, people left the knowledge of God and they became debased in their thinking. They left God. They didn't want to understand Him. They might have had the knowledge and might have knew about Him, but they didn't like to retain that knowledge and they left. So it is one thing for us to be misunderstood, but it's completely different for our Creator and our Maker to be misunderstood. Most folks also, when they say they understand Him, it might be that some don't understand Him. When our Lord in Matthew chapter 7 gives reference to those that say they know Him but don't, they're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." They would be the ones that say, I cast out demons in your name, I did many wonders in your name. The Lord's going to declare to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." A part of that reason for doing that is because they didn't understand what God wanted. God didn't want the miracles and the signs and wonders done so much as He did obedience, faithful obedience to His Word. It's not a matter of doing great works. It's not a matter of doing great things. It's a matter of obedience, faithfully obeying God's Word. And to do that, you have to understand it. You have to understand what God wants you to do, and that can be achieved. Just like the relationship that I have with my children or that you have with your friends or your family, you can have understanding. But you have to work to that. You have to want and desire that understanding. I will say this, the more we misunderstand God, the more we are to misunderstand His Son. And it is through His Son that He speaks to us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us that. And He wants to speak to us through His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. And as it does, we'll look in a minute at the end of the book of Mark, the Lord wanted His disciples to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. And those that believed and were baptized would be saved, but those who were not believing were condemned. So again, we need to understand what God says, and we can. It's not possible, and I want to lay this point out to you there, when we're thinking about understanding God, it's not possible that we search out and find out every detail about God and why He is and why He's there. It's not possible that we know why He made man, except through the Scriptures and what He reveals. It's not possible as to why He put this star there or why He put that moon over there or why He arranged the planets in the cosmos, but He did it. And we can understand that He did it. We can't understand every detail that God has presented to us in life, but we can understand every detail that He has presented to us in His Word. And that's His goal, and that's what He wants from it, and that's what we should get for it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about this mind of Christ that we're to have. How is that possible to even know God? How is it possible that we can even have that mind of Christ? Well, in 1 Corinthians 2, God makes it necessary, or God makes it able. God provides the way that we can know what He wants us to know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul would be speaking to the Corinthians there. He tells them there, "I didn't come to you in excellence and speech or wisdom," there in verse 1. "I didn't determine to know anything you there among you in verse 2 except Jesus Christ," he said, "and Him crucified." So again, Paul didn't need to know every detail about the Corinthians' life, What he wanted to make sure they understood, though, was Jesus Christ. Was that Jesus Christ was Lord and that He came to serve as a man on this earth. He came and died for us and rose again the third day and now seats in the heavens with the Father at the right hand of His throne. And look at what He says there in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God. And if you scroll on down there and look in verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But then we see what Paul mentions there, means there in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 10. He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so, therefore, we understand that God specifically sent His Spirit to reveal to us His mind, to reveal to us His wisdom, the things that we must know for our soul's sake. He didn't come saying, you need to believe in the things of the world, but He come bearing His wisdom to us through Christ, and He's revealed them to us in His plan, in His Word, and He wants us to know that. When Paul says further in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ, those things are what we are to do. There in chapter 11, verse 1, when you ask the question, how is it that I can understand God? Well, God revealed it to us. He wants us to follow after Him. He wants us to learn the things as He does, or He wants us to learn as He reveals to us, and He wants us to see as He sees. He wants us to have that attitude to where I want to be like God. I don't want to be like the world and be of corruption and be of the things that are corroding, be of the things that won't last. I want to be like the eternal. And even Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us God put eternity in man's heart so that he wouldn't see all the workings of God, but that he would desire after God. So God put those things there and has put those things before us so that we can know Him and we can understand Him. Well, where does it all begin then? Where is the start? We need to understand that God has revealed them to us, but God does not have our mind. God does not think like we do. In Isaiah chapter 55, if you want to turn there, this point here about where do we need to start then to have the understanding of God, Isaiah 55 points it out very clear. There in verse 8, Isaiah would have there for us to read, inspired by the Word of God there in 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we could go on to read about His creation and about how He has accomplished things. And He says there in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Again, that whole idea about communicating so that we have an understanding. God did that. God sent His Word so that it will go and accomplish those things that He wants it to accomplish. If we don't understand that, it is not His fault. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, and He has revealed to us those things that He wants us to know so that we can draw near Him. We can understand what He wants for us. Not so that we can understand the cosmos and that we can understand on a cellular level what God has done, but so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Again, you can turn back a few pages in Isaiah chapter 40 and read there again in Isaiah 40, verse 13, where Isaiah would say there, who has directed, in chapter 40, verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as His counselor has taught Him, with whom did He take counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? It wasn't us. It wasn't mankind. We didn't direct God. And you know, Job would ask those same things, or God would ask those same things to Job in chapter 38 and 39. He said, were you there when I formed this? Were you there when I did that? How do you feed the donkey? How do you feed the eagle? And Job couldn't answer those things because he wasn't there. So therefore, the plane that God's in is not our plane. We need to understand that. So therefore, having that understanding, we cannot put God on our level. We must understand that God is higher than us. If we're to know the mind of Christ, we need to seek that out. It's not the mind of Kevin. It's not the mind of each of us sitting here. It's the mind of God, and it's a spiritual mind. And if we're going to seek it out, we've got to understand that we can't think when we come to God on our own terms. We can't make God into something that He is not. We can't change God into what makes me feel right. We must come to God knowing that His mind is greater and far and higher, and we've got to humble ourselves and get on His path, get on His level. So then, that's where you start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, would be said over and over again. So that's where we need to start. We could go on to further points in Scripture. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, would say, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or become His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." That's in Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. But again, it could be said there in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that He will instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to hear what the Lord says to us today through His Word. We have the inspired writings from the apostles themselves. We have the inspired writings that God wanted to send through the hand of men and to write down for us so that we might have instruction, so that we might understand, so that we might have that mind of Christ. In that starting and understanding that God doesn't have our mind, His thinking and His reasoning is different. I appreciate Lawton reading that there in Psalm chapter 8. Because it points so well about our state and who we are as compared to God and who He is. The writer there would say there in Psalm 8, chapter 8, verses 4 through 9, "What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." So God has put us here for His reason. We are not here of our own accord or our own desire. God has instructed from the beginning of time the creation, and we are here at this point as if to say ourselves there in verse 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." To glorify Him, to honor Him and praise Him. That is our reasoning. The whole book of Ecclesiastes as well again says that and states that. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is man's all. So therefore, coming to God in that mindset, we understand that His concerns, we can understand His values, we can understand His purposes, His objectives, His priorities, His perspectives, His insights, we can understand from God's Word. And we can see that His ways are greater, His ways are higher. What it all boils down to then, where we start at that point, where we start to where, you know, God doesn't have our mind, we need to focus on that. If the Christian then, in obedience, can work toward that and obey what God has said, then he can understand God's will and His way by learning to think as He does. That's what the statement then, if I'm going to follow God instead of my own thinking, I must dedicate myself to understanding all I can about God. I must dedicate and focus then, if God wants me to have His mind, if He wants me to know what He wants me to know, then I need to dedicate my life. I need to put away childish things, I need to put away my selfish desires, and I need to put God first, because His ways are higher, His ways are greater. That's not going to be a blind service. It's not going to be a methodical obedience that will not pursue that objective. It will not be coming and gathering with the saints only on Sundays and Wednesdays. And it's not going to be singing of songs only then at that time too, or maybe preparing for your Bible study at that time. It's going to take a constant diligence to put that mind of Christ before you. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14 talk about what a weariness it was that the people were offering to God, and God just wasn't going to accept it because it was vain worship. They didn't take time to prepare in their normal lives for that worship, so God did not receive what they had to offer. God does have reasons for what He does. God has purposes He seeks to accomplish. Without an understanding of God's reasons and His purposes, there are things that God wants us to do that we will not do. Without that proper study, without that proper understanding and looking into God's Word and seeking after having that mind of Christ, we will not understand those things that He wants us to accomplish. We will not be part of that will and that goal that He wants on this earth. So understanding what God wants us to do is critical. When you think about what we talked about earlier about the children who want to be understood, you think about that child which functions best in the family. Which one is it going to be? Is it one who knows of his parents' thinking, values, and purposes? Or the one that knows his parents? Is it going to be the one that doesn't know, the things that his parents know, their values and all? Or is it going to be the one that does know and understand? Which one is going to be the child that functions best within that family? Which employee is going to do the best on the job? Which one's going to present the best quality work? Is it the one who knows nothing about the whys of the job and what the goals are there? Or is it going to be the one who understands why the job must be done and what must be done and they get to it? It's going to be the second. It's going to be the one who understands and gets to the work. Why do you want to build your house? If the carpenter asks that question to the architect, why am I building this? He's reading the blueprints and he sees, but why? What is the goal? Why am I doing this? No, the carpenter is to understand how the structure is supposed to be, and he's to understand what all goes into that. He's not supposed to cut any corners, but he's supposed to read diligently and make sure he has all of his materials lined up. He knows how to prepare the foundation. He knows how to build the walls. He knows where to put the nails. He knows where not to put the nails, where to run the electrical. Those are things we can understand. Well, the same principle applies to understanding God. He's told us if we're going to be a builder in His kingdom, He's told us where to put the nail. He's told us where to put the foundation. He's given us instructions on how to live. So we must work toward that. We must diligently seek that out. He does have a will. He does have a purpose. And that reaches to eternity. Again, I mentioned from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, the Heavenly Father now speaks to us through His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. His purposes will be accomplished in that. In what He's provided, we've already looked at, His Word will not come back to Him void. If He's spoken now through His Son, He wants us to hear. And that, He wants us to become what He wants us to become. If He's to use us, we need an understanding of what He is seeking to do. If, as a serious Christian, if I'm dedicated to building life with Christ as its foundation, I must understand how God thinks and how He reasons. I can't go into it blindly. I can't offer my service blindly, not knowing. I must study. I must seek Him out. I must read His Word. Again, we've already been hitting on that. How do you do that? How do you seek God out? How does a Christian understand the mind of Christ? Study the Bible. To most people, that's a vague generality. Well, I look at the Bible and I read Psalms every now and then. I love the book of Psalms. Some people, they know Psalms, but they don't know the rest of the Bible. When studying the Bible is presented, the mind of Christ is within the pages. Psalms is not the only book that's going to help us to focus on God and His Word. Psalms is not going to be the only one that saves us. We must look at all the pages within God's Word and study it and completely look into the whole counsel of God. We must learn to reason as God does by developing Christ's mind in us. Turn with me to John chapter 5. The book of John chapter 5. The best way to learn how God thinks, reasons, and feels is to learn how Jesus thinks, reasons, and feels. In John chapter 5, He makes this clear. There in verse 9. Excuse me. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "Is it the Sabbath? Or it is the Sabbath. Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed?" And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who has healed did not know who it was, for Jesus hath withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So again, the idea that they should have known the things that were taking place, they should have understood, but they didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. Healing had already been taken. If you go back into Matthew chapter 7, the sermon, or Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount had been given where the Beatitudes were spoken and the Pharisees were condemned. And then after that, He went out through all the regions healing and teaching. They should have known. But they didn't even know who healed this man in John chapter 5. So again, for us to know the mind of Christ, we've been presented. We know it's there. We know that God speaks to us through His Word, through His Son. We can't neglect it. We can't let it go and say, I know the Bible. I know a few passages here and there, and that's sufficient for us to understand. God wants us to understand. God wants us to know. He wants to reveal the plan to us if we'll look in. The better I understand Jesus, the better I understand God. When Jesus was on the night of His betrayal, He emphasized this truth that, if you know Me, you'll understand the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, that's a passage I read many times and quote often. But here we have Thomas asking Him, saying, Lord, we don't know where You're going. There in John 14, 5. Where are You going and how can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you'd known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. That same conversation down in chapter 14, verse 23, we can read then how that's done. The Lord would say there in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which your heart, the word which your heart is not Mine, but the Father's who has sent Me. Let me read that again, verse 24. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. So again, we can know the Father's will. We can know God who has made and created the world and His purpose and His goal, and it's to enter in through Jesus Christ. It's to go through Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can know Him through Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to know God. To know what the Lord says is to be with God. Brother Rex quotes all the time, there's 2 John 9. He that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not the Father. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath the Father and the Son. It's in keeping the words, we're going to understand the mind of Christ. If we don't keep those words, if we don't study, we can't say that's true. When you come down to it, the instructions are clear. The understanding that we are to have should be clearer as we delve into the Scriptures. Paul wanted to make this clear to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. We've read already a part of it, but he tells there the Corinthians, for who has known the mind of the Lord that He will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. It's here in the words. It's revealed in these pages that we read as Scripture that guides us. He also tells the Philippians in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Looking at Him and all the things that He did, coming in the form of a man, humbling Himself. And again, Hebrews tells us there as well, chapter 12, to consider the author and the finisher of our faith. He tells also, Peter tells rather, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with this same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Again, that understanding of God wants us to no longer live for the lust of the flesh, but put yourself as Christ, where He came to do the will of the Father. He came to do those things that God sent Him for. Let us be of that same regard. Let us be here on this earth to bring about glory to God. And that's the message that we're looking at, to put on the mind of Christ. If we read these words here that the apostles told the early churches, we're going to do that. We're going to put on the mind of Christ. We're going to know that God instructs us through Jesus Christ to be like Christ. That's the understanding we ought to have. That mind of Christ. Let's look a little bit further into what that is. It considers all of physical life. The mind of Christ doesn't leave anything out. in the physical realm. Although we sometimes think that nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody can understand or nobody can sympathize. Well, that's not true, because Hebrews does tell us we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmities. But Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like ourselves, but without sin. He knows. He can sympathize. That's why it's told that we need to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for you. The Lord wants us to know we do have someone who can understand. If nobody else on this world can, the Lord can. It takes the humility, however, to look at ourselves and to examine and to again put ourselves in the right place and try to understand. God's speaking to us. He wants us to understand. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind of Christ. To be unselfish, to be loving as Christ was loving, to put others ahead of yourselves, to fulfill those things that God wants in us that Christ Himself gave us an example for. We could also look at Matthew chapter 6, and such a rich passage there. After getting out of the Sermon on the Mount there, or getting out of the Beatitudes that were given there in Matthew 5, when we get to Matthew 6, there in the first verse, He would talk about what the Pharisees did and comparing that's not the mind of Christ. He would say, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as a hypocrite in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And again, he goes into praying. Don't pray with big, boisterous prayers that everybody can hear, but do it in secret, so that your Father who sees in secret can reward you openly. Don't use vain repetitions so that the heathens do the same. For they think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Again, these things are the mind of Christ. These are the things that are going to continue us stepping toward the right direction that God wants us to be. He's telling us the plan. These things that we see, the mind of Christ considers all of these things. It considers also other things that His Word presents to us. We could look on down in verse 19 of Matthew 16 or 6. Do not lay for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy. The attitude and the idea about who we are on this earth and our physical existence, the mind of Christ reaches that far to tell us it's not about earthly possessions. It's not about jobs. It's not about money. And also, as we talked about our attitude toward other people, you know, back up the Matthew chapter 5 there, it tells us about our enemies, those who work against us. We're to love them. We're to do good for them. So the mind of Christ reaches that far into our attitudes toward other people. It reaches also to our compassion. And the Lord had compassion in several times in His Word that He is presented to us. But Ephesians chapter 4 would speak about this. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So the mind of Christ, as we're looking at it, it considers all of these things. The humility we're to have to look at ourselves with, the reverence we're to look at with God, our attitude toward the physical things, our attitude toward other people, toward having compassion. So we need to examine the Word of God and see where it fits in our life, because it's going to fit in every place. That's what God wants us to know. We don't follow Christ to learn one religion. We don't follow Him to be a religious people. We follow Christ to discover life. Again, as He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is why we follow Him. We want to learn how to live, and that involves much more than going to church. We want to learn how to live and how to value what God values and to devote our lives to those values. We want to seek a transformation of our lives as we seek to belong to God in one mind and one body, as Ephesians tells us there. We want to be a Christian. We want to have an understanding about our Lord. We want to be one with Him. If you would turn with me there, if you haven't already, in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to close with some of these thoughts here. He says there, I therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to understand. He wants us to have a single mind about things. He wants us to look at life on this earth in single-mindedness according to what He has presented. His plan, His words. We can have that understanding. We can know the mind of Christ. We must do that as well if we're to seek those things in heaven and if we're to expect to be in heaven after this life's over. I want to encourage you with this lesson this morning to do that, to seek out the mind of Christ. His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we must come to God in that regard. If it is that you haven't done that, if you think your way has been the best, but you've realized it's not. My way keeps failing. My way keeps falling and I keep ending up in turmoil. I need to seek a better way. Again, as we said, the Lord is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There is no way to that better peace and that understanding, to the Father, to God Himself, than through Jesus Christ. I offer you that way this morning. If you need to make that right, come to Him. Repent of those sins that you've been in. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. If you believe these things, if you believe that you have to have the mind of Christ, and then come forward and call upon the waters of refreshing to save your soul and to wash away your sins and do those things that the Lord has found fitting in His sight. But you must come together and use His understanding and use His guidance. We can do that. If you are subject to this invitation, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.